Jeremy Evans. It was first broadcast in 2006. Translations were by Rita Wiseman and Nina Konigova, and the readers were Mark Lewis-Jones, Stefan Griff and Rita Wiseman. And just to say, you can hear extended interviews and read complete translations from the programme on the Radio 3 website. And there's more Shostakovich on Radio 3 in Essential Classics on Thursday morning with his Seventh Symphony, the Leningrad. Also, Shostakovich is featured in the final edition of Symphony on BBC 4. That's on Thursday evening at 9 p.m.
On Radio 3, four lunchtime concerts from Liverpool. Tasmin Little plays Bach and Kreisler. Wolfgang Holzmeier sings Dichterliebe. And there's chamber music from two very different string quartets, Radio 3 New Generation artists the Elias Quartet and one of the great chamber music institutions of America, the Fine Arts Quartet. I'm Louise Fryer. Join me Tuesday to Friday lunchtimes this week at 1 o'clock.
Well, now on BBC Radio 3 World Roots, Lucy Duran introduces highlights from a concert recorded last weekend at the London Jazz Festival.
Well, Iranian classical music isn't everyone's idea of jazz, but this concert in the London Jazz Festival has sold out the Purcell Room here on the South Bank. And maybe the spirit of improvisation and musical conversation in this music does have strong echoes in jazz. But what's important is that tonight we have two of the very top performers in the Iranian classical tradition. Kayhan Kalhor, the master of the Iranian spiked fiddle, the kamanche, and Majid Halaj, one of the best-known Iranian percussionists who plays the tumbak drum and also finger cymbals. They're accompanied by Ali Bahrami, who plays the santur, the hammer dulcimer, and by singer Hossein Ali Shapur. In a moment, I'll be talking with Kayhan Kalhor, and later on, we'll hear the full ensemble in an Iranian classical piece. First, here's a one-off duet for the unusual combination of bass santur and finger cymbals, played by Ali Bahrami and Majid Halaj.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was an improvisation for the Iranian santur and finger cymbals played by Ali Bahrami and Majid Halaj here at the Purcell Room as part of the London Jazz Festival. And now I'm with one of the most celebrated of Iranian classical musicians, the kamanche player Kehan Kalhor. Kehan, you weren't featured in the music that we just heard, but
correct,
you had something to do with it because, as I understand it, that the bass santur is your idea, it's your creation.
Santur bass is a new instrument, relatively, but this is another version of it. You know, people are making different versions of it, bigger, smaller, and it's becoming popular. And
it's got a wonderful sound. It sounds,
it has,
almost,
yes,
if you close your eyes, it almost sounds like an old honky-tonk piano with a pedal,
correct,
off.
Yes, yes, exactly, yeah.
And but why create a bass santur?
Well, the ensemble playing in our culture is a young and new thing. So
is it really? I didn't
it
know
is.
That.
It goes back for almost 100 years, so that's young for us.
Okay.
I mean, comparing to, you know, how old the music is.
And before that, it would have just been individual solo instruments?
Solo instruments or duos or vocal and an instrumental duo. But as an imitation to Western larger orchestras, you know, this notion of having an orchestra took place. Ensembles, orchestras. Nowadays, you can see as orchestras as big as, you know, 40, 50 piece. So wherever there is this new idea, there is more sound and there is need for more sound. So other instruments, a version of the same instrumental families that we have are being created. So santur bass is one of those, but we actually used santur bass as a solo instrument this time. So it's not my creation, but it was our idea to use this as a solo instrument or duo instrument. So we just started to carry this heavy and big instrument with us on tours. And, you know, it just adds to the trouble of the santur player, but it sounds wonderful.
Indeed it does. Mm. So, I mean, I think of you as someone who's, on the one hand, really deeply rooted in this very old classical tradition, Iranian or Persian classical music tradition.
Thank you.
And yet at the same time, you're so involved in collaborations and...
I think whomever wants to start doing new things has to be rooted in tradition. You cannot create anything new without knowing the tradition and respecting tradition. We come from this very old musical culture that we learn to be soloists, and that's all. And, you know, it is a very old and powerful music by itself and the way it's presented. But, of course, in this century and next century, we need more ideas, more sounds. And I think this is the notion around the world. You know, classical musicians are doing it.
And other musicians have been. Otherwise, the music dies, doesn't
it? Yes, exactly. The musicians are exchanging ideas.
How restrictive are the parameters of Iranian classical music?
In the classical music, you're very restricted.
You are.
You know, for example, one very prominent characteristic of this music is being closely associated with poetry, the Persian poetry. As you know, we cannot forget that. You know, we come from this really hugely respected, powerful poetry culture. And anything you do in our culture is associated with poetry, even speaking everyday language. You know, everybody has idioms from the old poetry.
Really?
Yes. And even...
So it's very widely known. Everybody in your...
And respected.
Culture knows it.
In every household, you have a Hafiz book or Sa'di or Rumi. You know,
these are old poets.
These are really old, yes. And then, you know, everybody knows them by heart. You know, they
read
them.
So would it be
them.
A bit like having Shakespeare, like quoting Shakespeare,
exactly,
or something?
Exactly. So the music is heavily associated, the old music, with poetry and singing. So I think what we're trying to do as soloists, instrumentalists, we're trying to take some distance from that and develop a language that it stands on its own. And what you hear tonight is actually what I seldom do because it's a very traditional music.
So that's what we're going to hear now.
Exactly.
Which is going to be the quartet, the four musicians,
correct,
together.
This is the very traditional version of, you know, something that I never do these days. We have the traditional singer, traditional santur. And the material that we picked, we play four songs written in the golden time of Persian music, which is Qajar period.
What period is that?
It's late 19th century and early 20th century, before the Pahlavi dynasty. It's from Qajar dynasty, and these composers are really well known. I mean, some of them were alive until 40, 50 years ago, but this music is considered to be music of Qajar period, very, very classical Persian music. This is what you probably heard 100 years ago in a Persian court.
And what would the singer be actually singing? Will he also be
He's singing
reciting Sa'di, poetry?
The poetry of Sa'di.
And what kinds of subjects? Is it love, romantic
all
love?
All love, 100%. You know, he's the love poet.
So what we're going to hear now is something that's really special because it's very, very classical from the golden era of Iranian
don't know
classical
it's
music.
It's special for you, but it's very special for
well,
me.
Well, if it's special for you, it's special for all of us. It's special
you.
For the listeners.
Thanks. But this is something that I never do anymore. I used to do this a long time ago after the revolution with the ideas of going back to the classical music because the singer we have, Mr. Ali Shapur, is a young singer, but he sounds really old. You know, he has that, this is his interest to follow the music of that period, and he sings it really well. So we tried to, when I invited him to do this tour with me, this is what I had in mind. So uncharacteristically, we're going to do a very classical section for the second half of the concert.
Thank you. پسندیده بود دل شکستم رشته ی الفت و یاری گسستم که کنی ای پری ترک ستمگری می فکری نظری آخر به چشم جان بارم گرچه نازه برا دل تازه دارم ناز هم محبود من هم نازه دارم بگذرن از شوه کنم که بر سرم گذر کنی از رحمتم مارو اون زمان که بر کشن ماه غم سر از مزارم پسندیده بود دل شکستم
کی کنی ای پری ترک ستمگری می فکنی نظری آخر به چشم جان پارد
شکیبا ندارد ندارد خون شود این دل که شکیبا ندارد ندارد شکیبا ندارد ندارد.
خون شود این دل که شکی با ندارد Thank you.
جانم گشت و خدا گشت و چمن شد. در بار بهاری خالی از زاغ و جانم زاغ و خدا زاغ و زقن شد. از ابر کرم خطه ی ری رشک خودتن شد، دل تنگ و چومن مرغ قفس بهر خدا بهر وطن شد. چه کج رفتاری ای چرخ، چه بد کرداری ای چرخ، سر کین داری ای چرخ، نه دین داری نه آیین داری نه آیین داری ای چرخ، نه دین داری نه داری ای چرخ. از خون جوان خزیده گل نیز و چومن در میشان جامی خدا جامی دریده. چه کج رفتاری ای چرخ، چه بد کرداری ای چرخ، سر کین داری ای چرخ، نه دین داری نه آیین داری نه آیین داری ای چرخ، نه دین داری نه آیین داری نه آیین داری ای چرخ. از عشق و همه روی زمین زیر و جانم زیر و زمین زیر و زبر کن، مشتی گرت از خاک وطن هست و جانم هست و وطن هست و بسن کن، غیرت کن و I don't know.
کج رفتاری ای چند، چه بد کرداری ای چند، سر کین داری ای چند، ندین داری نه آوی داری نه آوی داری ای چند، ندین داری نه آوی داری نه آوی داری ای چند. از خون جوان آن وطن ناله، جانم ناله، خدا ناله دمیده، از ماتم سر به قدشان سر ما، جانم سر ما، خدا سر ما خمیده، هر سایه گل بلبل از این غوصه خزیده، گل نیز و چومن دردر میشان جامه، خدا جامه دریده، چه کج رفتاری ای چند، چه بد کرداری ای چند، سر کین داری ای چند،
that was a classical piece in the mode called Ovruz Abu Atta, performed by Kehan Kalhor on Kamanche, the four-string spike fiddle, Majid Khalaj on Tombak, the drum, singer Hossein Ali Shapur and Ali Bahrami on Santur, the hammer dulcimer, in front of a sold-out audience with lots of fellow Iranians who are clearly loving this old-style Iranian classical music. And that's all from us here at the Purcell Room in London. The concert was part of the London Jazz Festival 2011.
And that concert was recorded last weekend. It was introduced by Lucy Duran and the producer was Roger Short. Next Sunday, World Roots will start rather later at 10:30 p.m. Lucy Duran will be visiting the World Music Archive of the National Museum of Scotland. That's World Roots next Sunday evening here on BBC Radio 3 at 10:30.
Is this BBC 3 Radio C? It's ears for Between the Time.
A long-running series championing innovative and imaginative radio, some award-winning, all lasting long in the memory.
What shoulder dunched, hoiked the chalk skyward?
Whose knife scooped it?
Sliced a shive off that hill.
For winter 2011, the series begins with the first Between the Ears programme to be performed in front of a live audience. A new work performed at the Free Thinking Festival, inspired by the 3,000-year-old Uffington chalk horse that leaps across the Oxfordshire countryside. Two voices and two computers combine. Cornish ferry with human voices, echoes from the Cretaceous sea, the dragon beneath it, and our deepest past. Between the Ears, Saturday night at 9 on BBC Radio 3.
Back to this Sunday evening, just gone 9:30. And now, drama on 3. Tonight's play looks unflinchingly at the emotional and sexual aspects of intimate relationships. It contains the strongest language. Here first is the playwright Mike Bartlett to tell us how he began writing the play.
The play started when I was on a residency in Mexico City for a month, and I was teaching young writers playwriting in the afternoon, and in the mornings I just had the mornings free, and so I would go to a cafe and sit in the beautiful sunlight and I would just start to write dialogue, and it was that dialogue that became the play. And I suppose the cafes I was writing the play in were in the Zona Rosa, which is, they call it the gay area of Mexico City, so perhaps there was that sense of, in a Catholic country, thinking about sexuality and all of that. And then the way I write some plays, and particularly this play, is just through dialogue. It's a bit like Pinter, actually, the way he writes plays, I think, which is just that you start characters talking and you don't know who they are, you don't know where they are, and you just start calling them A and B and they just start to talk to each other. So two people started talking. They were clearly in a relationship. Turned out they were both guys and one of them was having a problem with the other one's cooking. And that's pretty much how the play began. And then also because I was in Mexico, they still have cockfights there. And so I was thinking about that. I'm fascinated by all sporting events and how they can act as a metaphor for theatre. And so the idea of a cockfight where it's ritualised and people gather around a very little small stage and watch two creatures go at each other and peck at each other and tear each other to pieces, that felt like a great place to start the form of a play. And so I think those two things, those thoughts about sexuality and that form of a play came together, and then of course they come together in the word cock, which has multiple meanings and seems to work as a sort of provocative, absolutely provocative title, but also one which talks about what the play is trying to do and has both the sense of humour and the idea of a slight failure of a man in the middle of it.
The Royal Court Theatre production of Cock by Mike Bartlett.
You take it out, that's what you do. You take it out first, otherwise what's the point?
All right.
It's not all right. It's... Don't. Don't you dare. Put it down. First put it down.
I can't. Not when you're... Not when you're like that, standing over me, watching everything I do. You're like a pest. Is that the word? A nuisance.
Nuisance.
Yeah, look, don't mock me. Now you mock the way I speak. First you mock what I'm doing, what I'm making here, what I'm trying to do. Then you're mocking the way I speak.
You said it.
I know.
You speak it.
I don't need this. Not now. Not. Do you understand?
Why am I being so nasty to you?
Why are you being so nasty to me? Yes, exactly. Why? Why? Why?
Because you're like a brother to me.
What?
You're like a brother.
You're playing now.
But you are.
I'm not your...
I know you're not, but that's what you're like. I'm mocking you like this because that's what brothers do.
But you're not.
I'm not. I know.
Fuck off now. Go and watch your programme.
Why?
You're pestering me.
Pestering.
If you don't just...
Look! All I'm saying is that you can't fucking cook. Can't do anything with your hands.
Really?
Yes, hands. No, nothing. Nothing practical. Nothing that needs to be done. You're all gestures and waving, cutting the air and flapping them up and down all the time, trying to make a point. It's like emphasising a word because you don't know how to use them and compensating with those hands of yours. Have you seen them?
Have I seen my hands?
They're like tennis rackets on the end of sticks. Like satellite dishes at the end of fishing rods. They're ridiculous.
Okay.
Ridiculous.
Okay.
I've missed you today.
Really?
I love you.
Right.
Really.
Right.
I'm like a puppy. It took 10 years off me. A shock like that. I know that's not what they say, that's not the expression, but it did. I felt 10 years younger after I picked myself up and came to terms with the fact, I wasn't dead.
You felt glad to be alive.
I felt more alive. I felt like a child again. I wanted to...
Not dance.
Like, run around and find someone and kiss them.
Who?
Someone doesn't... You know what I mean?
No.
You're not trying.
But you're all right.
I'm all right. I'm all right, yes.
Because I was worried.
Of course.
When you didn't call.
Then when I did call.
When you did call, yes, then I became even more worried, breathing down the phone like that. I don't want to be insensitive, but you didn't think about me, did you? Even for a minute, I'd be worrying, I'd be dying, thinking what might have happened. You didn't reassure me at all. The words you were using, I thought you must have... I don't know, concussion or something like that, something that made you mad.
I didn't...
You seem a bit...
I'm not mad, I'm not mad. This isn't madness, this is energy, this is fireworks burning like on that one night of the year. This is fingers up like sparklers, this is eyes popping like Roman candles. This is the bonfire in my...
In your...
In my, I don't know, my chest, my arms, my legs, my hair. I don't want to waste it. What? Why can't you go with me on this?
I think we're fundamentally different individuals, you know that.
I don't...
Fundamentally different people.
Are we?
I mean, we live under the same roof, we go to bed at night, we fuck and chat and cook and eat and everything, but I think only now I'm beginning to realise, yes, look at us, that we're fundamentally different people. We're like, I mean, you're eggs and I'm...
Cheese.
No, what's the opposite? I don't know. I mean, all the things we do, they cover up the very basic fact that when it comes down to it, if you see something, I don't know, dangerous, like a man with a knife in the street, you know, suddenly he's there, and you'll take a step towards him.
Yes.
But I'll run away.
Yes.
So do you see what I mean? It's like a fundamentally different thing. If I got hit by a car, I'd be in pieces. Literally. Probably literally. You'd have to go to the hospital and collect me bit by bit and put me back together. I mean, I'd be a mess. I'd be liquid. You'd have to freeze me, solidify me before I could say or do anything, you know? OK, I'm being dramatic and romantic, but, you know, I'd be a...
I know.
But you get hit by a car like that, and you're better.
Yes.
You're more alive, like you say. You're more there.
Exactly.
And I think that reflects something fundamental about our relationship.
You do.
I do.
Which is?
There's a gap.
Between what? Us.
It's not working. It's nearly over. We're both ignoring the fact that it's only a matter of time before we'll be on our own.
Don't say that.
Just did.
It's not true.
It is true because I just said it, so there it is. It's out there. Look, there it is, right there. Can you see it? Yes? There, on the floor, between us, this thing I just said, not going away.
This is all a bit...
This is, yes, all...
For me, all a bit much. A bit hyper today. Everything's going so fast. I mean, yes, I feel better. Yes, I feel like I appreciate everything more. And that includes you, yes, before you say anything against it. Yes, it includes you, but I need something... Oh, God, I'm spinning. Yes, I need something to hold on to.
Not me.
You, yes.
Not me. It's over. Look, that thing I just said is there between us in the way.
It's not.
It's going to be in a week, maybe. It will be. I can feel it. So we might as well... No. Don't. Don't. No, just stand over there by the fake dog. Stand over there where I can see you, but there isn't any danger. You might... No. There. There.
Here.
Yes.
I'm all right here?
For now.
I might fall over.
You won't.
An illustration showing me the distance between us.
If you like.
But you're not showing me the distance. You're creating it. You put me over here. Put that thing there between us. And you're saying it means... It means we're now... We're...
Yes? Well? Finish what you were going to...
What?
Say. Finish what you were going to say.
You want to go?
We're sinking, you and me. I'm taking a lifeboat.
Teddy bear is waiting for a train. Very English.
Right.
Why this?
It's kitsch.
It is, Dan, it is. It is kitsch. You want to get back. You want to get back with me. You make a big fuss and then you change your mind and you want to get back, so you bring me teddy bears.
A random gesture full of humour and irony intended to provoke mutual feelings of goodwill and find the giver endearing.
Okay.
So, do you? Am I?
You were...
Endearing, I mean.
You were the one...
I know.
The one who...
I know.
So what's with the bears? This...